Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The Common Collector is the premier local sports cards and memorabilia destination in Northeast Mississippi, where there's something special for everyone. Visit the Common Collector at 704 Crew Street in Corinth, open Wednesday to Saturday.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in. Glad to see you guys on this Thursday night. There is nobody in the entire Jackson area. I don't know if all of you are on vacation. I don't know what happened, but like the drive to and from the studio the last few days has been the easiest it's ever been. Where did all of you go? Where is everybody? I have no idea what happened, but that, I mean, I guess everybody's on vacation. Everybody's at the beach, something. I don't know, because nobody's here right now. I feel like I'm on an island of one in terms of being on the road at 6:15 in the evenings. But anyway, I was thinking about that on the way home from the studio today. It's like, where the heck is everybody? But I'm glad you guys are here on this Thursday, July 11th. The last time you're going to hear from me until SEC Media Days. We will talk about that a little bit. But first, my name is Michael Borky. I am so glad that you are here. This is Rebel Report Live, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you have any personal injury, now I hope you don't, but that day may very well come. If it does, personal injury or also small business or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, he'll be with us, not in person, but the Gregory Law Firm will be with me throughout my coverage and all the videos that I bring to you during SEC Media Day. So everything Rebel Report, Gregory Law Firm is bringing that to you at SEC Media Days. Personal injury, small business and contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. It will be a personal experience. He will get to know you. You're not just another number that's just getting churned in and out. It's somebody that you will build a relationship with, because that's DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, 662-397-9799. Don't delay, guys. Call DJ today. 662-397-9799. Personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. The Gregory Law Firm bringing you Rebel Report Live. So, yes, a couple of things. We're going to do bold predictions tonight. I want yours. I've got a few that I was thinking of earlier, but I want your bold predictions for Ole Miss in 2024. Also going to talk about what I expect or what I'm hoping to hear at SEC Media Days as well. Side note, Sunday, so the flights are officially booked. I am leaving here right as the stream is supposed to start on Sunday. So no stream on Sunday. Haydad and I are actually traveling together, so we're going to have some fun with that. So there will be some social media content. We will be live, though. Obviously, the radio show will be live there, but we will be live on Monday. We'll call it 7:45 on Monday. I might go a little bit earlier, but I think we'll just stick with 7:45 on Monday, like we usually are, just a day later, recapping everything that we hear from Ole Miss Day at SEC Media Days. I'll be doing a lot of interviews and stuff throughout the week, so I will post videos for you every day for hopefully a few weeks straight. That is the goal that I'm going in there with, and hopefully I can achieve it. But we will definitely be live, 100%. We will be live on Monday, 7:45. I'll probably not do it from our radio booth. I'll probably find like a better visual background, but that's the plan for now. Nothing Sunday. We will be live on Monday, though, after everybody makes their rounds. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky, by the way. Follow me there. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Just search Rebel Report and leave a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. So as you guys, all of you have seen by now, there was some sad news out of Ole Miss football and really the football world today. Monty Kiffin, passed away today in a statement from Ole Miss. I have not seen one from Lane, but Ole Miss football released this just earlier today, about 5:30 today. And they said, quote, Monty Kiffin, 84, peacefully passed away today in Oxford, surrounded by family and friends. As his grandson Knox said, he's free of pain and smiling down on us from above. Please keep the Kiffin family in your thoughts and prayers during this time. Absolutely doing just that. Obviously, for everybody that was close to him, his friends, and also the Kiffin family, I'm certainly praying for them and hope that if you are the type that does that, you would join in and do the same. It's an extremely difficult thing. And I can't imagine what they're going through right now. But so just please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Truly do that. And I will, and hope you'll join me after we hang up tonight. It's a very, very sad deal. I did not know Monty Kiffin personally. I never got the pleasure of meeting him or spending time around him. And I'm not going to pretend like I did. But I did notice something today as the tribute started pouring in. When it's somebody that's as accomplished as him, I mean, the architect of modern defense, right? One of the most legendary assistant coaches in the National Football League. He's in the Bucs Hall of Fame. I mean, just the accolades speak for themselves. But when somebody accomplished passes away, people reference their accomplishments. And that's you know, what they should do. But what I noticed with some people and people like apparently Monty Kiffin was, it's Tampa 2, like great football coach, but personal anecdote that makes him sound awesome. And I've seen that, I mean, so far, and it's only been just a few hours since the announcement, but that's what it is. It's rest in peace, legendary football coach. And I remember this again, personal anecdote that makes him larger than life, that made him truly awesome. And so the more that people that truly knew him share those stories, I think the better it's going to get. So again, I didn't know him. I don't have one of those. I'm not going to pretend like I have one of those, but seeing other people that did have the pleasure of working with him or being coached by him, et cetera, share those things just, you know, makes you realize that he wasn't just the architect of modern defensive football, wasn't just a legendary football coach, but was a legendary person as well. So thinking about Lane and his family and everybody around Monty Kiffin today, for sure. Extremely difficult thing. No other way to transition out of it. So let's just turn that page now and get into the lead topic tonight, absent that very sad news on Monty Kiffin. Bold predictions for Ole Miss in 24. I want to hear yours. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear yours. I did save a few, and I kind of like these. And the first one, this is kind of – and some of you guys aren't going to think that this is bold at all. Number one, Jackson Dart makes the Heisman Trophy ceremony. The more I think about this Ole Miss season, more specifically, the more I think about the offense, one, the team is going to win enough games to have a quarterback that's going to get them there. I think they're going to win 10. And if you made me pick between 9 and 11, I would lean 11. But when you look at the offense and what it has and the weapons, and it's not just talent, right? We're not talking about it's an offense that has this guy that was a former four-star. No, it's this guy that caught 1,000 yards worth of passes last year. It's this guy that, before he got hurt at South Carolina, was truly dominant and electric. It's this guy that's been doing it for years. It's this tight end that dominated a great Penn State defense. It's proven. It's not on paper. It's in practice. That's not the best phrase because I'm not talking about how they perform in actual practice either. But I mean, it's proof. These are proven weapons that are at an extremely high level at every spot. They have three very, very proven wide receivers with the depth behind them that is on paper talent. You've got two proven at this level tight ends. You've got a running back room filled with guys that are proven at this level. Maybe not so much at Ole Miss, but Parrish and Bentley have done it at Ole Miss. So that's not even particularly fair either. You return a bunch of guys on the offensive line and you portaled two guys from college football's best offensive line last year. a plug-and-play left tackle, and a guy with 34 starts on the offensive line in the Sun Belt as well. The weapons that he's going to have around him, where's a weakness on paper with this offense? We need to see the line gel, but it looks like there's a chance that it's truly really elite, and you know that Kiffin already is just a dynamic offensive mind and a dynamic play caller, but I don't think he has had this since he's been at Ole Miss, and I know that he hasn't had this since he's been at Ole Miss, so I think they're going to win enough games to get him there. The weapons are there to get him there, and I think he's good enough in and of himself to get him there as well. So that's prediction number one. Jackson Dart makes the Heisman ceremony. Number two, I think Ole Miss is going to have three running backs with 600 yards or more. Three running backs, 600 yards or more. It'll be Bentley, it'll be Parrish, it'll be Amos, all of which will have 600 yards or more. And that's really not all that bold, honestly, because Bentley had 540 last year and was somewhat limited. Dart himself, I'm not talking about Dart, though. I'm talking about three running backs, had 391, and obviously Judkins had almost 1,200. But Ole Miss ran for 2,300 yards last year. But I do think that even though when I'm looking at this team, I think that they need one to kind of rise above the others in the running back room. I do think the Kiffin offense before Judkins showed up led the SEC in rushing. I think they're going to do it or at least be a top three rushing attack again this year. They're going to share the load a little bit, and I think you're going to get three 600-yard rushers. And sticking with the theme, I think you're going to get two 1,000-yard receivers for Ole Miss this year as well. So last year they did something really impressive. They had three receivers that had over 700 yards. I think they're going to have two that have over 1,000. Knock on wood, Trey Harris was just 15 yards short. I think he'll get there, knock on wood, should he stay healthy. Jordan Watkins had 741 last year and broke his hand during the season. I think that you will get Trey Harris and either Watkins or Wells, both having over 1,000 yards receiving for Ole Miss this year. And finally, I'll switch over to the defensive side. Jared Ivey is going to have more sacks than Princely Umanmielen. Only had 1.5 fewer sacks than Princely did last year. And also, will Princely be available week one? We'll have to see. I know his upside. I know the physical tools are there and all of that. This is bold prediction time, though. They don't necessarily have to be right, but I do think Jared Ivey is going to, one, have a really good season because he has taken steps forward and was really productive last year and more disruptive than the stats would give him credit for. But I do think he's really going to feast on tackles that are on islands because they're going to have to be. When you've got Nolan and Pegues and you've got Princely on the other side, and then what they're going to do with Perkins and maybe Dudley at linebacker. And I mean, they portaled well as well. So there's another edge rusher involved. And I mean, there's a lot there. And I don't think a team's just going to be able to focus on any one guy. I think Jared Ivey's going to be on an island a lot because you're going to have to help with Nolan and with Princely. And I think that'll lead to a lot of one-on-one matchups. And I think he's going to win a lot of them. And I think he's going to have more sacks than Princely in 2024. So I want yours. And also, here's a little quick what I expect to hear at media days. I do wonder if what has happened might alter the schedule a little bit. I probably don't need to create any more content out of a situation like that, so I'll probably just shut up now. But I do expect to hear a lot of that for sure, and understandably so. If their relationship is anything like mine and my dad's, I would just talk about them obsessively for as long as I possibly could for anybody that would listen. And it appears that they had that relationship too. So I do expect to hear a lot of that as well. Pressure is the thing that I am most curious to hear about and ask about. Is how the team is handling the pressure that the program hasn't had in a very, very long time. That Lane Kiffin himself has never had as a head coach. Had it at Alabama as an assistant, but at Tennessee, he was there 1 year. It was a rebuilding year. At no point during his time at USC was championship a realistic thing, I don't believe. Maybe I'm misremembering that time. It was a little while ago, but they were hit with crippling NCAA sanctions. So there was never going into a year at USC where it was playoff, run at a championship or bust. Certainly wasn't that way at FAU. Wasn't that way with the Raiders either. Lane Kiffin, this is uncharted territory for him as a head coach. I'm curious to hear when he's asked about it, when Jackson's asked about it, when Trey's asked about it, you know, how are you going to handle and how have you handled the pressure? Do you talk about expectations? When people on campus, when you're walking to class, talk about Heisman to you, how are you approaching this season? Is it different? I'm also really curious to hear some recruiting stories from Jackson Dart and putting together his offensive line. I know there are some quotes out there from Diego Pounds about that. Going to ask him about that as well. I'm really looking forward to talking to Jared Ivey about how he's better at my job than I am. And he is already. So I hope the NFL really works out for him so he doesn't bust into this scene before I can hopefully be more established than I currently am. But it's pressure and expectations is what I am most looking forward to hearing about when it comes to the Ole Miss contingent, is pressure and expectations. So what do you guys want to hear? Let me know. We'll get into your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That is the website if you're in the market for office technology and your business is located anywhere in the state of Mississippi. Check them out online, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make it their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, here we go. Jackson Dart outplays. Why is this not pulling up? My software is... There we go, Pat. There we go. Jackson Dart outplays Carson Beck in Oxford. No receiver over 1,000 yards because there's too much talent. Final bold prediction, Borky gets a new curtain rod. I'm glad it's bold prediction night because bold predictions are meant to be outlandish, and that one's outlandish. I'm never getting a new curtain rod. One of your bold predictions is Ole Miss doesn't have a 1,000-yard rusher, at least in the regular season. Couple of rest in peace, Monty Kiffins, absolutely. One of the greatest defensive minds ever. Sounds like he wasn't. Ole Miss goes 11-1 and still misses the SEC championship game. So I was thinking about that. Texas and Georgia play each other. I believe we are going to find out this week what the tiebreakers are. As I understand it, they have not revealed what the tiebreakers are for the SEC championship. So what's going to happen when you have 11-1, Georgia, Texas and Ole Miss, but Texas and Georgia play each other. So what happens if Georgia beats Ole Miss, but Ole Miss beats Georgia, Georgia beats Texas, and Texas wins the rest of their games. What happens? I guess that would be Texas would be out in that scenario. I don't know. I think we're going to find out this week. That would be ideal, is to go 11-1, guarantee yourself a hosting spot, and not play in the SEC championship. You get that home game. So good to see you, Scott, deep in the Razorback Ozarks. I bet it's kind of fun to wear your Ole Miss gear around there right now. Look forward to seeing you too, man. Really looking forward to that. So before that day comes, please shoot me a direct message or an email. Please do that. I would like to hear more about your trip, what you guys are doing and stuff like that. Carve out some time. So please do that between now and Monday morning. So, Pat, I wasn't late tonight. I was early. 7:45 Monday means we'll get started at 7:45 Monday, not 8:30. Okay? Okay? You're just being a jerk now. Bold person. I'm messing with you. So after once 6 o'clock comes, there's really not a whole lot going on in there. So I should kind of have my pick of space and like where I get to set up and do all that. So we'll see. I might just do it on the podium. That would actually be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Bold prediction should be 12-0 to Natty. I do hate that for Lane and the family, but that could be a spark plug for the team. Bold prediction, 12-0 in a Natty. So that would really be what, 15? Coming off a bye, I think Ole Miss could thrash Oklahoma at home. Man, so you're going to hear from at least one person that covers Oklahoma, but there is some rising confidence in Soonerland about what they're going to be in 2024. And man, I just do not see it the same way that they do. I just don't. Here's not one. Georgia Southern game will be closer than Wake Forest. I don't hate that, actually. I don't hate that at all. That Georgia Southern game could be sleepy. Could be really, really sleepy. Not so bold as they pass it 55% of the time. Based on Kiffin's tendencies, that's bold, but you've been beating that drum. There's a lot of talent there, and you're not crazy for thinking that. Okay, this isn't Ole Miss related, but you've been going through SEC schedules. You're trying to find a win for Arkansas, and I think I found it. They're at Auburn the week before Auburn hosts Oklahoma. Freeze loses these games all the time. Every year he's good for a loss in one of those games. That would be a good spot for the typical Hugh Freeze loss, too. Is Arkansas before Oklahoma? Yeah. Or Vanderbilt at home after two consecutive losses to Missouri and Kentucky when there's 35,000 people in Jordan-Hare that day because they've lost four games by then. First time you've ever teared up over the passing of someone you've never met, might should get your testosterone checked. Man, I am so much more emotional since my son has been born about stuff like this. Truly. I guess I need to get mine checked too, honestly, because I'm with you. I'm with you. You're with David. Ole Miss goes 11-1 and misses Atlanta, but that's a 5 seed. It'd be nice if they did a remembrance for Monty at the Mercer game. They will definitely do something. They will at 100%. I mean, based on all of the anecdotes and tributes that have been shared already, he touched a lot of people in his not so short time in Oxford, if you think about it. So, absolutely. Absolutely. Prescorn leads the SEC for tight ends. That's a good one. He was, second team All-SEC last year. Most dangerous position is the backup quarterbacks. If Dart goes down, it's over. Appreciate you being here, Sven, by the way. Thank you. Even though you're a State fan, I appreciate the discourse. My follow-up to that would be, though, how many teams in college football are not screwed if their quarterback goes down? I mean, how many? You know? There's very few that if their starting quarterback – I can't even think of one that has a backup where you're like, oh, that guy will step right in and be just fine. I mean, Texas fans would say, oh, we've got Arch, it's all good, but he's never taken a meaningful snap before. So if Howard goes down at Ohio State, did you see who played in their bowl game against Missouri? If he goes down, they're screwed. Vandergriff, Carson Beck's backup left. I mean, I know they've got Rashada, but he wasn't going to start at Arizona State. So George is different without him. Florida State was really good until their quarterback got hurt last year, and look at what happened to him. So, and their backup transferred to Southern Miss. Who isn't screwed if their quarterback doesn't get hurt? What's more likely, Ole Miss wins against Georgia or Georgia blows them out by 21-plus points? I don't think they're getting blown out this time. More likely, though, is probably, I think, until I see it, is them getting blown out than winning that game. I've got to see them make up the gap that was so apparent last year. Texas plays Oklahoma the week before Georgia. You think they split those? Yeah, Texas's schedule, man. So they go to Michigan in week two. That's a great time to get Michigan. Their first SEC game is a home game with Mississippi State. But yeah, the Red River and then Georgia following Red River is a really bad scheduling break for Texas. A really bad scheduling break for Texas. And Georgia's got Mississippi State at home before that game as well. Let's see. Texas got a break with having Vanderbilt and Arkansas on their schedule. A&M is going to be brutally, brutally difficult. Hell, if I told you that Texas loses to Kentucky at home before the A&M game, would that surprise you? You said Freeze is good for one of those. Texas has kind of been good for one of those, too. I think the most dangerous position is center until you see someone other than Warren who can snap with accuracy and velocity. I'm really curious, and we won't get many looks in training camp. But what is seen, I am very curious to see how they're adjusting to the offensive line. And who's taking snaps at center? Who's starting? Is Scott going to start? Are both the wide? You know, there's 8 or 9 guys vying for 5 positions, right? That is a very unsexy position battle, but that will be one. Sven, the State fan, gives us another one. Ole Miss earns the loss against Georgia, LSU, and Oklahoma and misses the playoffs. Likely maybe 30%. I think Ole Miss should beat LSU. They should. They definitely should. Tiebreakers with no divisions has the potential to be a nightmare. So this is kind of a unique year with looking at Texas, for example. They do play Georgia. That helps, but they don't play Alabama. Alabama and Texas don't play each other. Ole Miss doesn't play Texas. Ole Miss doesn't play Alabama. So what if Texas, Ole Miss, and Alabama all are 11-1? Just for, you know, they all don't play each other. Generally speaking, if they use other established tiebreakers, it shouldn't be all that bad. The likelihood of having 3 teams with an identical record is seemingly pretty small. But yeah, there's going to be a year where you're going to have 3 teams with the same record and they haven't played each other. That will happen at some point. Like, it will happen. So, yeah, Georgia going undefeated and winning the national championship, as do I as of this moment. So, it's just mean to wear your gear in Arkansas right now. No, it's not. Could you imagine if roles were reversed, what would be happening to you? 4 teams can finish 7-1 or better in the SEC. Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss can be 12-0, 11-1, 11-1. Missouri can be 12-0 or 11-1. And Missouri's got the easiest schedule in the SEC. Although, man, I know they have an off week before it, but I'm looking at that game in College Station for Missouri. I am buying Texas A&M, guys. And by buying, I don't mean buying to make the playoff. I mean buying to where they're going to be what everybody thought that they should be under Jimbo in short order. I think that they made a good hire, and they're going to get players. This roster has players. They portaled very well. I think they're an 8 or 9 win team, which is better than missing a bowl game team like last year. I think that they will have a pretty good gain in the win column this year. I expect them to be pretty salty. I mean, I'm telling you, I think that Missouri has a real chance at going there and losing. I think Notre Dame has a good chance at going there and losing in week one. Place is going to be nuts. I think LSU has a chance at losing to them. I think Texas has a chance. I do. Did you know only 9 schools ever won a playoff game in the 10 years of the 14 playoff? Yeah, but hey, NIL is going to usher in no parity, right? We've had so much parity in college football, and now it's ruined. I saw Barrett Salee, who I like, the other day. I forget who it was. It may have been Tom Fornelli, who I unfollowed recently because he's being obnoxious about USA Soccer. I think it was Fornelli that was like, you know, we've got more parity than we have at the top of college football, which, by the way, he's right. And Barrett said, that's not true. There's only 5 or 6 teams that can win the championship this year. It's like, as opposed to every other year where there's more than 5 or 6 teams that can win a championship. What? Please, somebody point me to the time where college football had great parity. When my dad was a toddler, maybe, but it's been like that forever. No way you can be confident about Oklahoma replacing the entire offensive line for a first-year starting quarterback is destined for disaster. And they lost Lebby as well. I mean, they lose their play caller. Their offense was really, really good for the last couple of years. So there's a lot to be replaced there. If Alabama beats Georgia, loses to Missouri. If Alabama beats Georgia, loses to Missouri, Georgia wins versus Ole Miss and Texas, who both win the rest of their games, and Missouri only loses one, then you can have 5 teams at 11-1. It's not going to happen, but that would be a crap show. Are you wrong for wanting to be a 5-8 seed more than a 1-4? So, no. I think you would rather be a 5-8 seed than go to the conference championship game. Well, you know, as I've said before, it makes no difference the number of games, because if you're a 1-4, that means you won your conference championship game, so you don't have to play an extra one. But if you're the 4 or the 5, there's no difference in games, but the 5 gets to play their first playoff game in their home stadium, whereas the 4 has to travel. But they do get a week in between, or they get a week off before your second playoff game. So I think I would rather have the home game. Georgia and Texas are good enough at backup. How do you know Texas is good at backup? How do you know? How do you know Georgia's good at backup? Again, Rashada was losing, if he even is the backup, lost his job at Arizona State. Was not going to start at Arizona State this year. But Arch Manning has never thrown a meaningful pass in college. How do we know Texas is good enough at backup? We don't know. I think it's more likely Ole Miss loses 2 of South Carolina, Arkansas, Florida than beats Georgia. Ooh. You take the 1-4 seed because that's one less game you'd have to play. You probably won the SEC. It's the same amount of games. Because they get a bye, but as a 5 seed, you wouldn't have to play. Well, unless you're a 5 that played in and lost your conference championship. A&M is like an 8-win team this year that beat some big teams, beat Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, but loses to Florida, Auburn, Texas, etc. I buy that. You don't buy any Aggie stock before you see it happen. Always 8-4, and this is with all that talent. A&M always finds a way to lose 2 or 3 games down the road. How does he know Walker Howard isn't good, though? Or Austin Simmons? They could be great. They could be terrible. We have no idea. If you're being practical, because I know that, you know, there's a lot of discourse like, well, Simmons is going to be the next superstar, and he very well could. I mean, he very well could be great. How many guys shine in practice, and when games come, they don't. It happens at every school in America. I would like to see it first before I start claiming that Arch is deserving of a 87 ranking in the college football video game when he hasn't played a meaningful snap. A&M is a fairly easy SEC schedule. They have Texas, Missouri, and LSU at home, and their toughest road games are at Auburn and Florida. They could surprise and be 10-2 or possibly 11-1. It is a bold prediction night, after all. You're calling it now, number 12 Memphis versus number 5 Ole Miss, round one. Am I cynical or whatever for saying that that wouldn't be all that exciting? I mean, a playoff game in your home stadium, the atmosphere would be nuts, and it would be historic for that reason. But you spend all offseason talking about a possible playoff berth, and then it's Memphis? You know? It's kind of a letdown, frankly. I mean, it's a lot more winnable than if it were Oregon or somebody, but still, it's just, you know, Memphis? It would still be awesome, but anyway. If Ole Miss has a loss before going to LSU, they're missing the playoff 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are missing the playoff. Guaranteed. So I got to cut it short, guys. Actually, I have to get going. I've got something personal I have to deal with. So I've got to hang up here and then get on the phone. So I appreciate you guys. Again, traveling Sunday, so won't be live on Sunday. We will be live Monday, though. 7:45, we'll recap the day. My plan is to have interviews, stuff like that, every day for at least a week. I mean, I've been reaching out, spent most of the day doing that to do interviews and stuff like that for you guys at SEC Media Days. That'll just carry us on until the start of training camp. Hopefully I can get enough. So anyway, I'll see you guys on Monday. Appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend. Just a very few number of these left before football is here. So thank you guys. Please like the video, all that stuff. And I'll see you on Monday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.